host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Today, I'm joined by Tyler Wackstein, founder and CEO of OpenNest. Tyler, awesome to have you on, man.
Yeah, pleasure, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So it's, first off, great to see you at Trailblazers a couple weeks ago, and nice to follow up with you digitally. But, for everybody who's tuning in right now, OpenNest Labs is an accelerator, really focusing on growth for health and wellness, cannabis funds, portfolios, and startups. And Tyler has a pretty epic background. Obviously, right now, he's over at the CEO of OpenNest, but also co-founder of Trailblazers. He was a creative producer at Summit Series, which is one of my favorite events for the last decade. He's an investor across the board. He's on boards. He's an advisor, and just doing some really great work. So, Tyler, it's great to have you on. And maybe let's just kind of kick off the show. Give us a little update on maybe some of the exciting things that you're currently up to, aside from having your second baby any second now.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Jeff, for having me. I mean, it was awesome having you guys as a partner at Trailblazers. We just came off a amazing event in Ojai, California, where we had, 250 executives and investors and policy leaders. Yeah. And Philo was a sponsor and partner of the event. And it was just like, that is one thing that I'm super proud of. I started Trailblazers with my friend David Denberg and Pete Gross, who the three of us worked together at Summit Series for a long time. And, I think we just saw so much excitement and opportunity in this new emerging industry of cannabis and psychedelics, and wanting to really focus on building a community of leaders and a circle of trust, and just believe there's way more opportunities to collaborate than compete if you can align yourself with the right people. So Trailblazers is one thing I'm super excited about. I think we got a lot of exciting things coming up in 2022. Within OpenNest Labs, which is our cannabis venture studio, where we're incubating and investing in early stage cannabis and hemp and psychedelic consumer companies, we're just really excited. I mean, I think, the public market, of course, has, been hard, and there's a lot of regulatory kind of unknowns on the federal landscape around cannabis. But there's no doubt that it's no longer a matter of if, it's a matter of when everything really starts to open up. And we just feel excited to be, be at the forefront of destigmatizing cannabis, making it more accessible, and creating brands that consumers can trust as they figure out how to navigate this landscape and get access to this incredible medicine.
Absolutely. I think when we kind of come back to a couple of weeks ago at Trailblazers, you had so many amazing companies, investors, leaders in the space really coming together and, talking about, the positive impact that the plan is bringing. Obviously, talking through compliance, talking about really just, how to activate. I think that's so important. And, I think one thing for me is kind of a takeaway, and especially from being at so many past events on the Summit side, is, really building community in, budding industries. And I mean, no pun intended there at all, but I think it's so important. So talk to us a little bit about the importance of really what you guys do at the kind of the epicenter there is like the community that you guys are bringing together for positive change.
Yeah. To us, we really kind of, we started Trailblazers initially as like, let's just throw a party at Powder Mountain and bring a bunch of cannabis executives together. And I think it's grown now, with six events under our belt, into something much bigger than us. And, we're really proud to be the stewards of the community, but it's really become a platform where, everyone, and not just in cannabis and psychedelics, but in any emerging market, it tends to be like in the early stages of an industry, operating at such a frenetic pace, mm-hmm. right? And everyone's kind of heads down operating within their own respective bubbles. And they just don't have enough time sometimes to put their head on a swivel and be in an environment that is inspiring, that inspires curiosity and inspires kind of like vulnerability, most importantly, where, you know, people can get out of their comfort zone and be surrounded with people that are trying to help them grow both personally and professionally. And that's our goal. You know, our focus is creating spaces for leaders to grow. And, you know, if you look at, you know, whether you're a big Canadian license producer or a big US MSO or a big California vertically integrated company, or you're a small brand or operator, you know, with a business plan trying to figure out how to navigate next steps, most likely we're all trying to solve a lot of the same problems.
Right.
And I find that, you know, when I got into cannabis initially in 2014 on the legal side, you know, I just saw like people just working against each other versus working with each other. And so I think at the core, what we're trying to do is create spaces for people to grow and connect and collaborate and recognize that none of us have a playbook of how this industry is going to get built. And we're all better off working together and solving these problems in a collaborative format. And, you know, we just hope to play a role in helping to, you know, connect those dots and create an environment for people to, figure out how to cross-pollinate each other's ecosystems.
I love it. You know, when you're kind of putting on your hat on the, you know, openness side, you know, obviously you guys are working with, you know, a ton of different operators, cannabis companies, startups. You know, I'm sure that you're kind of at the forefront of seeing, you know, some of these trends that are really shaping, I'd say, especially in the health and wellness space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cannabis obviously is at the forefront there. Anything that you're seeing, any cool ideas, anything that you're like, whoa, this is definitely moving in a really interesting direction that's impacting everyday lives, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, stepping out of, you know, kind of cannabis, you know, I'm also investing and advising in, you know, other, you know, wellness, health and wellness driven companies. You know, I was an early investor in Calm, the meditation app, you know, an advisor to a breathwork company called Breathwork without the O, which is doing incredibly well. And, you know, those are companies that are making like things like meditation and breathwork more accessible. And I think that's like the way in which technology and content and like good UI and UX provide experiences for someone who thinks meditation might be too heady, or I don't know if I'm doing it right, or if I don't know if I'm good enough, or like just the simplicity of like, hey, just sit here, close your eyes and breathe. and that will help you, you know, and reducing anxiety, helping you with sleep, helping you, you know, with focus. And as when I think about cannabis specifically, like there's just so much, you know, I remember when I got in 2016, I was hired to help a brand called Humboldt launch, which is now called Dosis, which is, you know, a top brand distributed in multiple states and in Canada. And, you know, that was the first brand that, you know, really executed flawlessly around a product marketing strategy, right? And made it really simple for a customer to come in and say, hey, I'm looking for something for sleep, or I'm looking for something for relief. And just really executing on the simplicity of a new customer coming into a dispensary and how to navigate what to try, how to try it, versus a budtender being like, oh, you can try this. And unfortunately, most of the budtenders aren't as educated as I think us as brand owners or brand managers would like them to be. So it relies on us. And I think, you know, we're really excited on the openness side. You know, where our thesis is to be asset light and build brands around a strategic syndicate of licensed partners. So we partner with cultivators, with manufacturers, and we really focus on building world-class products. And then we focus on partnering with retailers and delivery services to get the product to the customer. And what we're probably most excited about is just bringing more radical transparency to the supply chain. You know, I think if you look at anything in food or natural foods, like people care where their product comes from. And I think in most cases you go into a dispensary and if you pick up a bag of this flower, that flower, in most cases, you don't know where it's coming from. And I don't think the brand has historically done a good job telling that story of like making the cultivator or the cannabis farmer the next celebrity chef.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something we're doing at, you know, at Union Electric, which is one of our brands, which we're excited about, and bringing really radical transparency to the flower buying experience, and you know, giving you premium flower at a fair price. And you know, that's a brand that's distributed in over 200 dispensaries. You know, we're also just launched a beverage called Amass, and the product name is After Dream. Right now it's exclusively only at Sweet Flower, and which is, you know, they have four locations in Los Angeles. We're now ramping up with probably a dozen other dispensary groups, as well as delivery services, to bring that product to California, and already starting to have conversations about bringing it to Massachusetts, Illinois, Michigan, and a few other states. But I think beverage is something we're extremely excited about. I mean, I think, you know, Can has, of course, done an amazing job kind of blazing the trail of microdosing beverages. Big fan of Jake and Luke and Chelsea and a lot of the amazing folks over there at Can. But they've created, I think that's a category that we're very excited about, especially as consumption lounges open up. And, you know, we really think about like the mass adoption of cannabis. I think beverage is going to be a category that is going to be very exciting over the long term. Still a fraction of the market today, but very bullish over it long term. And then I guess another thing that we're excited about too is just bringing new audiences into cannabis. You know, we just launched a brand called Pine Park, which is a partnership with a guy named Hector Rodriguez, who is the founder and CEO of Optic Gaming. He's kind of the OG and godfather of esports and gaming. You know, I think it's a pretty natural partnership of gaming and cannabis. And I'm just so blown away with like what the world of esports and gaming has become, and how rich of an audience and how deeply engaged that audience is. And so the idea of like bringing new audiences like gaming into cannabis. And I think that's like a big strategy for us as we look into the future, is like, it's not about, as we think about incubating new companies, it's not about what is the right product form factor or what is the right consumer segment, but it's more like what is the right audience that isn't properly being served in the cannabis market today, and how do we authentically kind of steward that audience into the cannabis industry with the right strategic partners. And very excited about the gaming one with Pine Park and Hector. And that's one that's we exclusively launched with the parent company in Caliva, which is doing really well. And we got some pretty exciting things going on with that. And then I guess the last thing on a trends, I think direct to consumer, right? I think, you know, having brands, you know, own the relationship with the customer and being able to market and communicate with them directly is something that, of course, is going to be something that will be big in cannabis, as it is in every other CPG category. And, you know, just excited about some of the technology developments around, you know, direct to consumer for cannabis. And all of our brands are really focused on, you know, but both the retail channel, the delivery channel, as well as the direct to consumer channel.
Totally. I think, you know, on the topic of gaming, I think that's obviously like a massive category. And there's already traditional brands that have already kind of honed in on that. Mountain Dew just came out with a new product that's really, it's focused specifically on gamers, and a lot of them have index pretty high with cannabis consumption. So you definitely have these kind of non-endemic brands out there that are starting to take notice, which is cool. And then, you know, just kind of your just comment on, you know, the beverage market. I mean, it's obviously not a surprise, but, you know, the news has been flooded. Literally this fall, it's just like new company launching here, new company launching there, microdose, macrodose, like the beverage craze has happened. And, you know, I had, I saw something that came across my desk yesterday from my team on some insights on, you know, seasonality with cannabis. And it was actually pretty interesting. Like there was this, the whole, you know, report was basically talking about how flower sales and flower consumption in November and December takes a little bit of a dip. And then, you know, you have actually vape sales and beverage sales, you know, rapidly increasing. And it just makes a lot of sense, right? Because we're with our family, we're at parties, and there's, you know, certain instances where we can't smoke. So we're trying other products. And that's just, you know, it's just interesting with that time of the year. So I'm excited about the beverage market, and especially I'm in New York. So, you know, legalization just happened, so it's going to take a little bit of time, but, you know, we're late to the party, but it's going to be a big party, that's for sure.
Definitely. Yeah, no, we're very focused on New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts and Connecticut and just that whole Northeast region for beverage. And I think what's also cool is, like, you know, our thesis has always been, you know, California, you know, as a state is the eighth largest economy in the world. It's right. Absolutely the capital of cannabis culture. So we've always been focused on, you know, building brands here in California and then bringing them east once we validate the model and the brand and et cetera. But I think it's also cool, you know, we were talking yesterday as a team of like how you get to also reinvent your brand when you bring it to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Totally. Just how different, you know, like I grew up in Boston in the city and, you know, like, you know, it's like Bostonians and New York, you know, folks are like, they're stubborn, right? They're very like, you know, they love what they love. They hate what they hate. They're very raw, and real. And, you know, it's going to be really fun, I think, bringing brands to the East Coast markets, but then also like potentially incubating brands that are born in the East Coast that then go West. Like, if you look at just like East Coast, West Coast hip hop, like the whole brand and culture of East Coast hip hop versus West Coast hip hop is so different, but there's a natural blend of the two. And so I try to think about things a lot with like the lens of how the music industry does things. Cause I do think music industry has culture and a chokehold. And the way in which you kind of like authentically think about, you know, brands are all built around culture and built around the authentic connection they have with their fans and their customers. And so, yeah, I think New York's going to be super fun when it comes online for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can't wait. I really can't wait. You know, when I first got into the industry, a few years ago, my friends out here, they're like, oh, can you get me some edibles? And I'm like, I'm technology, I'm not plant touching, but
anyway. Yeah.
But it is nice to see, like, you know, I think in the last 6 to 12 months, like such rapid adoption, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. It's great to see. We don't have that stigma anymore. It's just like cannabis is mainstream. Now we've got psychedelics coming into the market. It's just really cool to see. And I mean, aside from the companies that you're kind of, you know, investing and really growing, anything that you're really excited about in the space, and it could be anything from cannabis to psychedelics, like just curious, anything that gets you really, really ramped up?
You know, I mean, psychedelics is something we're not spending enough time on professionally. I do believe we are embarking on a psychedelic revolution as a society. You know, there's too many people living in fear, and have been wired to think about things like as us versus them. Mm-hmm. And so culturally, like, and societally and politically, like, I'm very excited about how, you know, psychedelics can help rewire society to be more compassionate. Mm-hmm. And so that's something I'm like very hopeful and optimistic about, of, you know, figuring out a way for us to get back to like a unified global community. And I do think, you know, I always joke that like cannabis used to be like the gateway drug, and I now think of it as the gateway herb and the gateway to plant-based medicine. Yeah. And I think what cannabis is trailblazing around destigmatization, you know, kind of making it, you know, I mean, going from an illegal substance to an essential service in 5 years is pretty crazy. And I think what we've seen in 5 years in cannabis is going to happen in 3 years in psychedelics. And so, yeah, I think some of the, you know, amazing work that Rick Doblin and MAPS are doing, you know, with some of the studies around MDMA and psilocybin, I think the ketamine assisted therapy clinics that are opening up, and just like some of the, you know, train the trainer, psychotherapy kind of platforms around how do you educate and train people to safely administer psychedelics, which I think is by far the most important thing, is how do you create safe spaces for psychedelics to be consumed, and how do you integrate the revelations of your psychedelic experience into your everyday life? So, you know, we're not doing a lot there today. We are curating and programming content around it for Trailblazers. And I'm personally just very excited about what that can do for society and helping us be just a more compassionate world.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I've been kind of looking into that space for some time now. And, you know, was really the first investor in Wisana Health, which was, you know, really started by Daniel Carcillo, all around, you know, traumatic brain injuries for athletes. And it's just, it's kind of amazing, you know, how this medicine is really transforming how people can live better lives, you know? So there's so many tracks we could go on the psychedelic side, but, you know, it is kind of all intertwined in everything that we're all doing. So it's exciting. And, you know, Tyler, if you've listened to the show before, we always talk about like what, you know, our guests are up to, and then we kind of finish off with some quick fire questions.
Yeah, cool.
Very easy. And I've kind of been doing this new thing, which is super fun. It's called This or That. So I'm going to give you two answers and you just tell me which one is more catered towards you.
Cool.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Cardio or weights?
Cardio.
I was going to say, you can't say neither. Cake or pie?
Pie crust.
Football or basketball?
Patriots.
You're from Boston. Bath, by the way, no Boston accent because I'm very good with accents. And I'd not,
you know, it comes out. My dad's here right now visiting because I'm about to have my second baby, so he's helping. And when I talk to him, my wife is like, you have an accent when you talk to your dad, but you don't have an accent without a thing. So
is he like, Tyler, where do we pack the cat?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
It's more like, hey, can we go to the bat?
The bat. So funny. Glasses or contacts?
Glasses.
Indica or sativa?
Indica.
Money or lots of free time?
Lots of free time.
Okay. Here's a good one. Pancakes or waffles?
Ooh, pancakes.
Train or plane?
Plane.
All right, last question. Camping or binge watching shows at home?
Oh, camping all day.
Yeah. I suspected that from you.
Yeah, no, I mean, no. That, we have almost little to no TV.
I honestly.
There is so much of probably amazing content that I probably would dive into at some point, but no, I'm an outdoors person all day long.
Did you happen to see the Fantastic Fungi?
Of course. Yeah, I actually saw the Fantastic Fungi at Louis Schwarzenberger's house.
No way.
A number of times before it even came out. Louis is a good friend of mine. And Louis, you know, Louis got the coolest house. He's got this amazing house in the Hollywood Hills. And he has like three dedicated rooms that are just set up for time lapses, right? So he's got cannabis in one room where he's just literally just has cannabis growing with like cameras and lights. And every day he takes the same picture, and that's how he captures those amazing, time lapse kind of shots. But yeah, Louis a magician, and he's got some pretty exciting things in the works actually of taking the Fantastic Fungi film and bringing it to, a real platform around psychedelics and not just psychedelics, but also just like, you know, functional mushrooms. I mean, there's so many, you know, whether it's chaga or lion's mane or reishi or cordyceps beyond psilocybin. The mycelium network is all around us. So big fan of Louis and the Fantastic Fungi film.
I would say if anybody who's listening right now who has not seen it, you must watch it. It's a really amazing film. And just the cinematography on it alone is just like mind-blowing. Makes you really kind of stop for a second when you're outside and look down and go, holy shit, what is happening down there is really sensational, you know?
Totally. And it's just those simple things that we tend to lose, you know, I think the general population lose sight of or appreciation of. And I think it's great storytellers like Louis. And Louis's got some amazing content that, you know, all under the Moving Art brand that's all over Netflix. And he's doing some cool stuff around like, how do you use amazing cinematography and time lapse and his style of content to create profound psychedelic, like part of his things is also like, you know, potentially having an administered psychedelic experience with a clinical social worker, but then also watching his film that allows you to truly kind of appreciate and look at things differently. around the world, right? And just the nature and magic and beauty that's around us, you know, every day that some people just don't always have their eyes open for.
Yeah, no, I think most people are not even thinking about it. So, well, awesome, Tyler. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, Tyler, pleasure, man.
Dean, founder and CEO of OpenNest, and congrats on number two. And looking forward to seeing you real soon again in person.
Yeah, no, appreciate the friendship and the support. And yeah, always here as a resource. And thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.